Attention, you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. The active ingredient in this program is common sense, which has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism. Be advised that listening may cause you to lean to the right. The doctor will be with you momentarily. Here's your host, Todd Huff.
I had absolutely no idea about this. Did Hillary Clinton take a position with the ATP with professional tennis? I mean, from the sounds of things, this has Clinton fingerprints all over it, right from the Clinton playbook. Tennis players have been accused, some of them, actually, there's quite a few, have been accused of throwing tennis matches for the purposes of, helping the, for gambling purposes. I was unaware that Hillary Clinton took a position with the ATP. This is news to me. I don't know why we didn't know this. Why didn't she disclose this as she's running for president? No idea, but it looks like Mrs. Clinton has taken a role with the ATP, and no one has told the rest of us about it. By the way, I caught that debate last night. You are welcome, by the way. I know none of you did. I know the rest of you were preparing for your week, were winding down with your family on a Sunday night, were maybe going to bed early, what have you, and didn't catch this debate that took place last night. Hillary Clinton, the nutty professor Bernie Sanders, and yes indeed, sexy Martin O'Malley was still on the stage last night, even though according to how the moderators asked questions, it appeared that he was invisible half of the time. The poor guy's up there begging for time. The poor guy's up there asking if he can chime in to Hillary Clinton's responses to whatever utter nonsense is coming from the mouth of the nutty professor Bernie Sanders. I mean, if I was him, I would really think strongly about this. I would look into getting one of those breakaway tuxedos or suits or something. Maybe go to a tailor to get the, like the Velcro seams down the side, some buttons that pop. And any time I was not getting the attention I needed, I would just bust that thing off. Go into full flexing mode up there. Get a good workout in before the debate. Get your pecs pumped up. Get your abs all glistening. Rub some baby oil on yourself. Get your head in the game, Martin. I mean, this is what we need to see from you. There's no way in the world you're winning anything here unless you start doing things like this. And the superficial left, if you do this, I'm telling you, this is free advice, Martin O'Malley. Sexy Martin O'Malley. If you do this, the superficial left, you're going to probably see a doubling of your polling numbers, maybe overnight. And if Hillary Clinton shows up on stage in an orange jumpsuit with an ankle bracelet, which at this point is a 50-50 proposition, and the nutty professor keeps talking about completely unhinged socialism, and you're up there. This is a three-ring circus that I think you may have a legitimate chance at that point. Get a good workout in, keep the carb intake low, stock up on some protein, grab a protein bar or two. Some baby oil. I'm telling you, breakaway suit, Martin. That's the magic bullet for you. By the way, also, more about the debate in a minute. I wanted to tell you I saw 13 Hours, the story of Benghazi. And just an amazing story. I'm kind of speechless in ways. You hate to say it's a really good movie because of what happened. F-16 sitting on, sitting just, I don't know, minutes away that were unused. C-130 gunships that were never sent up. IVR drones that were never sent airborne. A team of special operators in, I think, in southern Europe, not far from Libya, excuse me. Ready to go. Ready to go in to give these guys support. And nothing was done. They did send Glenn Doherty and a couple of Delta Force operators in at the very end. And, of course, Glenn Doherty was one of the Americans who lost their lives on that fateful day, on September 11th, 2012. Of course, we weren't prepared for this because apparently no one at the State Department had any idea that September 11th, in one of the most volatile regions of the world, was a danger. But a fantastic movie. Just a great story. And I'll say this. If you're a leftist out there and you're listening to this program and you're just, anytime you hear the term Benghazi, the words Benghazi, you go into, you know, freak out mode. You think that it's all about framing your beloved Hillary Clinton. She was not mentioned in this movie. I would go as far to say this movie was not political at all. There were a couple of references to, well, one reference to folks blaming a movie, and I think that was near the end. No names were mentioned as to who was blaming the movie. Another reference to when the special operators were coming home, they had to get on a Libyan transport jet, well, aircraft. It was a C-130, sort of. It wasn't C-130, but something like that, a propeller plane, not a jet engine aircraft. But they had to, they commented that there still were no Americans there the next day as they were returning home. But this was not an attack on Hillary Clinton. You know, can you imagine if the left did this movie? I mean, the video would be the beginning of the movie. This so-called video from this guy in wherever he was, California, the guy that's been placed in jail for this, well, effectively for this video, even though he's there for other warrants. The whole search for this guy took place once his video was selected to be the scapegoat for Benghazi. But if the left put this movie together, the hardcore left, Michael Moore, someone along these lines, the beginning of the movie would have been the actual video that was blamed for 9/11. Of course, there would be a movie theater packed with peaceable Muslims and their children, and they were just watching this movie in utter disbelief. And this, of course, caused them to tear their clothes and to go grab arms, including mortars and RPGs and 50 cal machine guns, and to attack the two U.S. CIA installations in, well, the CIA installation and then the grounds where the ambassador was staying for a couple of days. But the movie's really good. I highly encourage you to watch this if you haven't seen it. If you have, I think you would agree that this is a very good movie. But glad that I got to see that over the weekend, even though I did miss the end of the Panthers and Seahawks football game. Down to the final four now in the NFL. The Panthers and Cardinals are in the NFC Championship, and the Broncos, Patriots, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, 17 for the AFC title next week. Looking forward to both of those games, by the way. Anyway, you know, I'm going to talk about this debate. A couple of observations off the top. I really did watch this whole thing. I really did. I don't know how I did it. There's times I don't know why I did it, but I did it. from 9 to 11 on, what, NBC, I guess. The Nutty Professor, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, and, of course, sexy, sexy, sexy Martin O'Malley took to the stage. And this was, I'm going to maintain, socialism unhinged. I really believe this. Let me tell you some of the terms, phrases, and issues that I heard. I jotted these down. You ready for this? And this is by no, this is not an extensive, comprehensive list. This is not. This does not mean if it is not listed here that they did not mention it. It probably means that I, at this point, developed writer's cramp, or I could not. I ran out of room on my paper. Something along those lines. This does not mean that this was, that these were all of the issues that I heard brought up. But here we go. Some of them want to expand Social Security. They want to increase taxes. They want to implement some sort of a federal Family Leave Act. They want to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour. They want to pass some sort of legislation that demands equal pay for equal work. They want to make sure that the wealthy are, quote, paying their fair share of taxes. They talked about women's rights and voting rights. They want to work on college affordability. They want to help students with their loan repayment. In fact, they want to give free community college. They also offered, which you have to forgive my ignorance here, debt-free tuition, which just sounds to me like another one of these. What is debt-free tuition? What does that even mean? You pay only what you can afford? What the state says you can afford? What the federal government says you can afford? They continued to harp on civil rights and gay rights. These are just some of the issues. Of course, they talked about ISIS and Syria, about America being the, what, the policeman of the world, and that we could not do it. It sounded like there would be no situation ever presented to them in which Americans would send soldiers to fight anywhere, effectively, particularly in the Middle East, which is on fire, thank you to the Obama administration, which, by the way, I saw over the weekend that we were able to get what are 4 American hostages released from Iran in exchange for, of course, we had to give 7, which I guess is better return rate than what we got for Bo Bergdahl. What did we give up? 5 hardcore terrorists for Bo Bergdahl, the American traitor himself, the alleged American traitor. It's great that we got these men released. Do not misunderstand me. Iran is a brutal, out of control, maniacal, evil regime, and they have captured people who, you know, simply want to report factual news. They captured this Pastor Saeed, who was essentially simply living out his religious convictions. He, of course, is a Christian, and that's not tolerated in Iran. That's blasphemous. That's an attack against the Islamic Republic of Iran. He was in prison for quite some time. He was released. This is fantastic news that these guys are released. But we gave up 7 in return. And God only knows what else. I mean, do you find yourself asking that question? Because I do. We announced that we gave up 7 hostages in return. Not hostages, excuse me. 7 folks that we had arrested for violating legitimate sanctions. Most of these folks that we arrested, and I read a little bit on many of them. I don't think I saw information on all of them. But most of them were detained, were arrested, indicted, what have you, for essentially laundering money and sending it back to Iran. They were effectively trying to help either terrorism or the Islamic Republic of Iran in their nefarious activities against the United States. And they were using their, I don't know, their presence here in the United States to help facilitate that. And what were the folks that we had released? What were they in prison for? Talking about Jesus? Oh, the humanity. Pastor Saeed, we had a reporter for reporting news. Of course, they trump up charges anytime they can over there. They trump up charges that someone is involved in espionage. And, you know, given the close proximity to what happened last week with our two boats, our 10 sailors, our U.S. Navy sailors that were captured and taken hostage last week, there's more than meets the eye here. I don't know exactly what all's going on, but we're dealing with one of the most corrupt and evil regimes in the entire world, and that's without even mentioning the Iranians. I'm kidding. The Iranians are the most evil, corrupt regime in the world, but I'll be honest with you. We have a corrupt regime ourselves. The Obama administration is corrupt. They're not very honest and truthful. They're not trustworthy. They're always up to something else. So, anyway, I'm going to stop and take our first break. When we get back, we're going to talk more about this so-called Democrat debate last night and highlight a few things that I think are very important, because Bernie Sanders, to me, seems like a true believer in socialism. So I want to talk about that when we get back. So sit tight. We'll be back in just a minute. Make sure your booster shots are up to date by signing up for our free monthly email newsletter. It's educational, it's fun, and it's free. Sign up today by going to theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. That's theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. For you, the listeners of The Antidote to Liberalism, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I've been a member of Audible since May of 2014, and I love it. I've listened to novels, books on business, political books, you name it. In fact, one of my most recent downloads was given to me by one of our listeners, Ben Carson's America the Beautiful. What a good man and solid presidential candidate. But if you'd rather check out a great novel instead, I highly recommend The 12th Imam by Joel Rosenberg. Of course, you'll want to get the rest of his books in the series after that, too. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/antidote. Again, that's audibletrial.com/antidote for your free audiobook. There's nothing to lose with this free trial, so why not give it a try? Well, welcome back to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Today is Monday. It is January the 18th. You know, I'm always happy. Yeah, no one wants to rush, you know, hurry along and rush through life. But I got to be honest, the month of January is rough. It is frigid here in my part of the country. I'm outside of Indianapolis, and I think we have wind chills this morning. I'm now recording these the morning of. I was recording the day before, so today is literally January the 18th. But the wind chills here this morning are, I don't know, 15 below zero? That's what they said they were going to be. I haven't really looked yet, but it's pretty cold. But the month of January cannot end soon enough for me, so looking forward to the warmer days of spring ahead. So happily will accept any global warming that can come my way in the next few days. Back to this debate. You know, I mentioned before the break that this was, well, a couple things. Number one, this was socialism unhinged. Bernie Sanders, if you listen to this guy talk, any issue in America, He blames either drug companies, gun companies, Wall Street, money and politics. Health insurance. We don't have universal health care. Health care being should be declared a right. You know, we've talked about that before on this show. And I know many of you, some of you may gasp when I say this, but healthcare is not a right. Healthcare is something we should aspire to be able to provide for anyone who needs it. And I don't mean that in the sense of socialistic medicine. I mean in the sense of, what, like the Hippocratic Oath. I mean, healthcare should be a market-driven service, something that the laws of economics determine the value on. And if we clean up things like, I don't know, allowing folks to be able to purchase insurance across state lines, or if we can somehow change the malpractice issue, the liability issue that many, that increases costs dramatically here in the United States. If we can address issues like that, the cost can come down. But no one's saying that, you know, a doctor shouldn't treat someone who's in immediate need of some medical attention. No one's ever said that. But that's not what this has become. This has become free socialized medicine. And that's what Bernie Sanders was saying last night. He comes out and says it without any hesitation that we should have a single payer for health, for healthcare. And that single payer, of course, should be the United States government. Single payer. Government pays for everyone. For you, for me, for the wealthiest among us, for the poorest among us. I mean, Bernie Sanders correctly says, I mean, I don't know if these numbers are exactly correct. He says that 29 million people are still uninsured through Obamacare. Now, as conservatives, we might cite numbers like this. It's funny because Bernie Sanders would cite a lot of the problems. I hate to admit this in some ways. But he would cite some of the problems, or even a lot of the problems, that conservatives would voice, Republicans would voice. Those who are not in favor of the government running health care, as in the case with Obamacare, the same things that that crowd would be saying about Obamacare and health care in general are the same sorts of things, at least the problems, that we heard Bernie Sanders say last night. But instead of coming to the conclusions that we come to, which is, move it out of the hands of government, move it back into, well, it's not really been in the private sector's hands. That's another little dirty secret that's been going on for quite some time. I mean, it wasn't like this was completely free markets before Obamacare. Not the case at all. Government has had its fingerprints in healthcare for a long time, for health in health insurance for a long time. But Bernie Sanders, when he sees these problems, when he sees that not enough people, you know, that people that are still wanting insurance are not covered, or that we spent however many hundreds of millions or billions of dollars to implement Obamacare over a period of time, and we effectively have a similar number of uninsured, Bernie Sanders looks at that and says the solution is more government. The solution is to destroy the insurance agency, or the insurance industry, I should say. Instead of writing checks, he says, to Blue Cross, Blue Shield, you might pay a little bit more in taxes, but the government will provide this for you, and they will magically drive down cost. And they will make everything better. So says Bernie Sanders. But But it struck me that he's criticizing Obamacare like the conservatives. And given the choice, he chooses, instead of reducing government intervention, which is the source of the vast majority of healthcare's problems, he says, let's get rid of the private sector. Let's get more government. And Bernie Sanders, I think, as I was watching this last night, and I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to Bernie Sanders, but I watched him last night and I listened. I mean, I think Bernie Sanders is a true socialist believer. And there's an article out today. I read it, but I don't have time to discuss it. Talking about his, well, a little bit of a checkered past with some of the things he was involved in as an American socialist during the Cold War in the 1980s. But I don't want to get into that today. But my point is, I think Bernie Sanders is a true believer in this. I think Bernie Sanders believes that government is the salvation for any of man's problems. And this stands in stark contrast to what we believe, to what conservatism believes. I mean, I have some questions. I would have some questions for Bernie Sanders, or if you're a socialist, if you're a hardcore socialist, or if you have hardcore socialist friends, communist friends, I have some questions. My first question is always, why do you put more faith in big government? Why do you not question anything that big government does, but you question everything that big business does? Now, I'm not here to defend big business. I'm not here to defend everything that they do or everything that they stand for. I'm not here to defend the incidents where they take advantage of people, where they abuse employees, which I'm not insinuating is rampant or anything like that. I'm just saying that there obviously are cases where big business does things that are unethical, immoral, questionable, what have you. I'm not saying that this is just running wild through big business. I'm just pointing out that it happens, right? I'm just simply stating that it happens. It happens in small business. It happens in government. It happens everywhere because we're dealing with people. And people are imperfect. And we do bad things and we make imperfect decisions. And sometimes we handle tough situations completely the wrong way. Don't read more into this than what I'm saying. I'm not indicting big business. But what I'm saying is, when those things happen, those things are of paramount importance to the socialists. It's all they care about. But why is it not a big deal when big government does it? See, this always perplexes me. You have a choice. You have a choice, socialist, to, let's say you think Walmart is the scum of the earth. Let's just say that you do. I don't, incidentally. Let's say you think Walmart's the scum of the earth. Don't go to Walmart. Don't shop there. Go to Target. Go to a local, a small store in your community to buy some of these goods. Go to Kroger there's a bazillion places to buy. Go to Amazon. Take your pick. There's all sorts of picks that you can make. Don't go there. But when big government infringes upon your rights or takes advantage of people or does something questionable, because as I granted you earlier that there's bad things that happen in big business because not because big business is by nature evil, but because people are imperfect. We do things we shouldn't do. But by the same token, there are bad things that happen in government. But the problem is, when the government says what you can and can't do, you don't have a choice. You know, you can, like I said, when you go to, you don't like Walmart, go to Target. There's Kroger. Go to Amazon. Go to any other of a number of possible places you could go shop. When the federal government imposes its will upon me, when the federal government imposes its will upon you, when they do something that is questionable, when they use tactics and strategies that are unconstitutional or impure, where do we go? Reminds me of a Twitter debate I had with some leftist nut job over the weekend. Well, not over the weekend, late last week. And I made some comment in passing. You know, I made a comment of, you know, check out the podcast during our conversation. She said, no, thank you. I don't think I will. I said, that's fine. You don't have to listen to the podcast. You don't have to listen to this talk show. But we have to listen to big government. And then, of course, that incited this discussion as to, well, the response, I guess I should say, her response was, that's your problem, not mine. She actually said this to me. And see, that is actually not true. Big government is everyone's problem. I mean, I could tell you that if I have someone that disagrees with me 100%, someone who's a hardcore leftist, socialist, what have you, and if their freedom to believe or to act in accordance with their beliefs is violated, their speech is silenced, that affects me. I'm not afraid of their words. I think given the full light of day, conservatism destroys liberalism, socialism, communism, because it's more in line with how God created this planet to operate. It's more in line with human nature. It doesn't give absolute power to people that abuse absolute power. It doesn't squash human creativity and the free spirit of humanity. It allows for choice. It allows for people to make individual choices, just as God allows us to make individual choices about Him. He wants us all to choose Him, but He doesn't make any of us choose Him. Same thing with the way that we live our day-to-day lives in society. We should be able to make choices for ourselves. Socialism does not allow that. And when someone who has even a contrary belief to what I believe, an atheist, a hardcore socialist, if someone wants to live their life in a certain way, and it doesn't affect anyone else's life, liberty, property, you know, they're over there swinging their arm and it doesn't hit anyone on the nose, that sort of thing, then they should be able to do it. And if the government says they can't say something, they can't do something, and it in fact is just them living freely and not harming anyone else and not forcing anyone else to condone their way of life through government or what have you, as is the case with same-sex marriage. If someone's rights are violated, then that affects me. That absolutely affects me. Anyway, a little bit long here in the second segment. Got to cut off and go to a commercial break. When we get back, we're going to wrap up for the day, talk a little bit more about socialism, Bernie Sanders, and so forth. So sit tight. Be back in just a minute. I'm not a full-time podcaster, but I play one on this show. My daytime job is running a small business called Huff Promotional Strategies. We are a graphic design and promotional products company that helps clients with a wide range of projects ranging from logos and websites to promotional products and apparel. We have experience working with well-known brands, small businesses like ours, and everything in between. So if you need help with marketing or promotional products, why not give us a try? Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today for more information, and you'll find a 10% discount code that we will apply to your next order. We work with businesses, churches, schools, civic groups, sports leagues. You get the idea. Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today to learn more and to get your 10% discount code. That's huffpromotional.com/podcast. Well, welcome back to the Internet to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Today is Monday, January the 18th. It is cold here. It is bitterly cold. But it is a pleasure to be here. I got my heater up close to me this morning. And I'm ready to talk about a few more things before we wrap up for the day. I want to talk a little bit about Hillary Clinton and some of the things that she said last night. And you got to love this one. They're talking about the banks. They're talking about preventing a situation where the federal government must bail out a bank or any corporation for that matter because they've been deemed, quote, too powerful to fail. You remember this in 2008 when everything that was done to save the world from financial calamity and the end of civilization as we know it, we had to, according to the left, according to many Republicans, including John McCain, we had to bail out the banks, or life as we know it would have ended. And we've since developed terms, things like too big to fail. Like, we can't let the big banks fail because if we do, the entire society will unravel. That was basically the position. And of course, they're still talking about this, making sure that we don't create or allow for banks to become too big and too powerful so as placed in another financial situation like we were in 2008, which the leftists will, of course, bail out the banks again. They don't want banks too big to fail, right? That's what they say. Well, Hillary Clinton takes this a step further, and she actually said last night, you can't make this stuff up. The audacity of this woman. She actually says that no individual should be too powerful or too big to jail. J-A-I-L, to go to jail, for the government to put someone in jail. No one should be too powerful to put into jail. Does anyone see the irony here? Hillary Clinton is lecturing us, is telling her supporters, the Democratic lunatics that are watching this debate, like I watch it too, but I didn't watch it expecting to hear anything that was going to make any sense whatsoever. I talked about it to be prepared to talk about it and share with you what I heard. But she's telling the viewers that no one should be too powerful to jail. This, coming from the woman, coming from the former Secretary of State who was playing fast and loose with national security, top secret information, if she was not the Democratic frontrunner in the presidential nomination process for the Democrat Socialist Party, if she was not that person, if she was not named Clinton, I mean, what are the chances she wouldn't have already been indicted by the FBI, had charges brought against her and been indicted? I mean, this is outrageous. No one should be too powerful to jail, says Hillary Clinton. Hillary Rodham Clinton tells us no one should be too powerful to jail. Absolutely unbelievable. She also, during one of the questions from a YouTuber, she congratulated this guy for having 5 million subscribers to his YouTube channel, which I found pretty ironic because Hillary Clinton has, I think she has about 5 million. I could be wrong on my numbers here. She has a few million Twitter followers. I'm going to look this up as I'm talking here. But most of Hillary Clinton's Twitter, I should correct myself. A big chunk of Hillary Clinton's followers on Twitter are fake followers. 61% of her followers are real. Maybe it's right around 60-40. It's either 59, I think it was 59. 59% of her followers are real. There's a way to actually do a Twitter audit. I did this on her. Incidentally, mine is 98% legitimate, real people, because I've been doing it, you know, one at a time sort of thing. Hillary Clinton goes off and buys Twitter followers. Her Twitter followers right now, 5.15 million. So she has the same number of followers that this YouTube channel fella has. She has the same number of followers on Twitter that this YouTube, this guy on that was on the debate that has a YouTube channel, she has the same number of followers on Twitter that he has on YouTube, as he has YouTube subscribers. But Hillary Clinton bought 40%. It's actually 41%. 41% of her Twitter followers are not real. I've personally done the audit. Again, I've shared that mine was 98% authentic people. Hers was 59% authentic people. I mean, come to think of it, 59%, that's actually a higher percentage of authenticity than I would ever give Mrs. Clinton. 59% authentic Twitter followers. She can't even get, think about this, the former First Lady of the United States, the presumptive Democrat presidential candidate in the general election 2016, the so-called smartest woman in the world, former Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, can only get on her own, what, roughly 3 million Twitter followers? And that's a big number for you or I to get. But look at what some of these other folks do. This guy on YouTube has 5 million. And I'm pretty sure that his are more genuine and authentic than Hillary Clinton's. So this debate, I'm telling you, it was a three-ring circus, a sideshow. It was a complete and utter joke to me. I mean, listening to these people talk about issues, listening to these people explain their demented viewpoints, blaming society's ills, blaming people's problems on a whole host of things that had nothing to do with reality, is both personally dangerous. Do not do this, by the way. Do not do this and create a list of reasons for yourself, excuses. You don't do this as a conservative. But we shouldn't do this. I'm not saying that none of us ever have legitimate obstacles to overcome or things that we're working through. But to blame entire industries or something fundamentally wrong with the greatest nation that the world has ever known is patently ridiculous. And Chris Matthews keeps asking people. He asked Debbie Wasserman Schultz, then he asked Hillary Clinton as he was getting a tingle down his leg to describe the difference between a Democrat and a socialist, and neither one of them could. Chris Matthews keeps telling us that he thinks it's not that big of a deal to try to explain it. He thinks it's an easy explanation, although he never offers it up. I contend that there is no difference. There is no substantive difference between socialists and Democrats, and that is why Bernie Sanders is comfortable on the stage with sexy, sexy, sexy Martin O'Malley and Hillary Rodham Clinton in the debate for Democrat presidential candidate for the Democrat nomination. Bernie's at home up there because that is indeed the party of socialists. So anyway, if you didn't watch this, consider yourself fortunate and blessed. If you did watch it, you probably got a very good night's sleep last night because it sang me to sleep. It did. So anyway, I've got to wrap it for the day. As always, guys, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for joining us. Email, should you want to reach out to me for anything, is Todd, T-O-D-D, at theantidotetoliberalism.com. Or you can always connect with me on Twitter. Twitter handle is at Common Sense Here. So anyway, have a great week. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Your inoculations are now up to date. But since the disease of liberalism is ubiquitous and highly contagious, we need to see you again tomorrow. In the meantime, to help you boost your immunity, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.